So if I take a second to respond, would you stop to know that that's what's going on?
Yeah, for sure.
So the second part of that question was, what challenges sort of are present for you, or current now, and what you're up to? And that may or may not be related to what do you, when you mentioned, we seek to learn and engage in a conversation around sustainability with kind of everyone who's up to something, what would you hope to learn, or what might this contribute? And those might be, I don't want that to be half the subject.
Right.
Your question.
I think our biggest challenge from a sustainability perspective, we started off as, a bunch of goofs that had a cool idea. And while we've grown very quickly, it's been very difficult for us to, and increasingly difficult to know the right way to spend the money that we've gotten. We've got the right ideal in mind, but it's quite often very difficult to know what the right next step is. There's so many opportunities to do wonderful things, and they all cost money. And trying to figure out which one's the right one to do next, and then trying to anticipate the unanticipated consequences of that action are probably our biggest challenges right now, because the price tag on a lot of the initiatives that we'd like to pursue get quite high, and if they don't get implemented properly, there's a lot of business risk associated with them. So I think that's where our biggest challenge is now, is finding the right skill set and finding the right projects that make the most sense for us to help us further our journey. In terms of what we hope to get, I don't know if we have a specific, I'm really hoping to get this one nugget of information from you. It was more a matter of, if we have the conversation, there might be something great that comes out of it. There might not be. If anything, hopefully it's a good conversation.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, so I have a couple kind of questions to dig in. Just first of all, when did you open? When did you start it?
Yeah, the first batch was released July 1st, 2006.
Okay. And I'm curious, kind of, like you talked about, like from the beginning, that you knew you were going to do this differently. How did you articulate that, or did that get put there in writing anywhere, or what was the language you used at the time to describe that, and like what you were up to?
We've definitely gotten better at our messaging than we necessarily were at day one. We started off with what we call our not-so-corporate philosophy, which, basically says, we've got names, not titles. We grew with equal parts science and art, and we have, time for our friends kind of thing. And then from there, we built out what we decided our five pillars would be. And those are the five things that we wanted to focus on to kind of guide our decision making, and that's kind of become a tagline for us. And, we like to say, we're local, family run, award winning, organic, and totally DIY. And each one of those words that we put means a lot more to us than just the word. So, from a outgoing marketing perspective, we say organic, but for us that entails more than just organic. That's all of the sustainability and the community initiatives that we undertake. So some of it's been written down, some of it's been more kind of passed on orally. And some of it's, you know, being perfectly honest, but made up at it on the fly.
Got it. And so I'm curious, like, if, why do you pursue sustainability? What would you say the motivation is there?
From a very basic perspective, to me, it seems like the right thing to do. From a business perspective, I believe that being at the front, the leading edge of this, is far better than being at the tailing edge. There's a lot of initiatives and programs in place if you're leading sustainability, and then there's a lot of fine if you're lagging behind. And from a marketing perspective, the way I like to put it, I don't think anybody out there, or very few people out there, drink our beer specifically because they feel that we're a sustainable company. I think it's more a reinforcement of a good feeling. So it helps them feel good about the purchase they've made, knowing that we are organic and that we're community-minded and that we are trying to, be better for the environment. And so, the simple phrase for that is I feel that beer tastes better and you can feel good about drinking it. But I don't believe that it's, the primary reason why anyone drinks our beer. If our beer was mediocre, we wouldn't have the sales that we do. So I do believe that, the most important thing is that we brew wonderful beer. And then it's more of a personal choice to choose to use the business to further personal ethical goals that I've got. And, I really do, the thing I like most about entrepreneurship is the increased ability to influence the world at large. As one person with one vote, you've got a certain amount of ability to change the world. As one politician is part of a cog, you've got a certain limited ability to do something. When you've got a business and employment and revenue generation and investment behind you, you can actually get the ear of politicians. You can change the way that people do business from your suppliers to your customers. And you've got a lot of power to be able to change the world. And I guess I still like to think of myself as an idealist. And to me, that's the most exciting part about running the business, whether it was a brewery or a plastic factory or anything else for that matter. If we hit all our goals, then we would be carbon neutral, or carbon positive would actually be even better. We would have a community that we were an integral part of that was thriving and we would have a better community that we live in and be almost a shepherd of that community. Could you? Excuse me. I got something caught in my throat here. What else? We would be known around the world for making wonderful beer, but our beer would not be available around the world. I'm really in love with the idea of a craft brewery being a truly regional enterprise. So I don't want to ever have our beer available for sale more than a day's drive away. So while I'd like to be known around the world for making great beer, I don't want our beer available around the world, if that makes any sense. And what else? I would also be in a cool rock and roll band. We're located in a tiny little town an hour outside of the next closest city at the far end of the province, and particularly when we first started, it was very difficult to convince someone to come work for us. Now we found with both the fact that we're a fast-growing company, but also we're known as a company that's good to work for and has good ideals. We're getting really wonderfully talented people that are coming out of the woodwork, and it's made hiring so much easier. And convincing someone to pick up and relocate to this tiny little town has become so much easier because, you know, people are excited to work for us, and a big part of that is because of the work that we do in the community. And the work that we do to be sustainable.
Just a second, I'm taking the...
Yeah. When we post for a position now, we'll get easily 150 resumes in, whereas before we get, you know, we get zero resumes in and have to actually go hunting for people. And that's for like basic entry level positions, skilled positions, you name it.
Right. And how does this ethic kind of exist within your people? Is it something that largely they come in with and they're just contributing to, and it's sort of emergent? Is it something that they maybe come in with and you're communicating down, or is it, what's that look like?
It's a mix. We haven't necessarily done enough on our hiring side to necessarily ensure that the person is 100% committed to the same sustainable goals that we as a company have. And we have identified that we want to increase kind of sustainable practices outside of the brewery and into people's homes. So we've started working on initiatives that will help us achieve that, and we're going to be doing more over the next year. A lot of people that are coming to us now are coming with the ideals that we want, because that's one of the main things that have excited them about working for the brewery. So for newer hires, it's a lot easier to hire someone with those goals in mind. For kind of the more legacy employees, I would say a lot of them do get it, and a lot of them, came in already getting it. Other ones we've had to work with a little bit. And we're, not done working.
Okay.
hopefully they would say more, it's more than just reducing carbon footprint. We like to focus on, you can call it the 3P model, but for us, sustainability in kind of a simplistic method is doing what's right for the community, doing what's right for the environment, and doing what's right for the people and the company itself, the people in the company and the company itself. So sustainability includes making sure we're making enough money to keep the lights on. It also includes, you know, making sure that, you know, the next generation's got, you know, a better environment to deal with than what we've inherited. And it means that the community that we live in is a healthy community. Actually be made a bit tougher because I think we can do better than necessarily what we put for our goals. But once we start attaching specific, you know, tactical strategies to these targets, it's a lot easier to say, yeah, we can beat that. But we do have targets around reduction. We haven't set, you know, the date yet for being carbon neutral. That I'm hoping we can set by the end of next year. But we, in the last 3 years, have reduced our energy consumption on a per liter basis by 50%. And we've, you know, got pretty aggressive targets to continue to reduce consumption. And we've got other targets that we're building around energy generation. And what we haven't figured out is where the two will collide. the reduction in consumption and the increase in generation to where we'll get to that magic date. But I think enough of these initiatives are far enough along that by the end of this year, we'll be able to, you know, have a target date of being carbon neutral within our four walls. That's going to be the first step, and I recognize that there's going to be another project afterwards for, you know, sort of the bigger picture carbon footprint that we create. But yeah, we've got targets in place for waste, for wastewater, for energy, as well as community giving programs.
Yeah. And then we're going to come back and do, I don't know that it would make sense just because of your scale for me to travel out there and conduct interviews. But we would like to make the quantitative assessment open to sort of anybody in the field, and such that, you know, we'll have an online survey. And what we're looking for is we're looking to see how employees are motivated around their work and how that relates to your motivations as an organization. And to really learn and then be able to tease out and empower organizations to design for people having these personal benefits, like personal thriving or flourishing in pursuit of planetary flourishing. So sort of when and where these benefits are emerging and where they aren't.
Right.
And then the conversation for you is kind of how the different companies that are participating in this are seeing a different access to benefits. When we do the survey, you know, it would be wonderful for us to have like as few as 15 responses from within your organization. However, what really might add benefit for you is to look for you know, some of the companies are really interested in a granular detail of like where in my organization does this exist and where doesn't it?
Okay.
And kind of where is it diffused and where hasn't it? So, you know, if that's of interest to you, we could do a much larger sort of data set and give you a better resolution of, you know, for us, a macro resolution of the field is just fine, but for you as a business, something that provided a higher resolution within your company might be more useful.
That might be interesting.
And the one way to think about this is we're looking to measure those, you know, we talk about scope one, carbon footprint or life cycle analysis, where we're looking at the impact within our walls, right? And life cycle analysis, we've kind of yet to get to the social part of that. We're getting better and better at the environmental impact analysis.
Okay.
But this is sort of a scope one social impact analysis, looking at, you know, are we creating flourishing, are we creating thriving within our employees, and where is that working, and where isn't it?
Gotcha.
And I can hear from your speaking that it's really of interest to you to go beyond that and say, like, we want to be part of a larger community that's thriving. And I want to get there. This is sort of the first step. It's like looking within our walls, our own walls.
Yeah.
So would that be, you know, we could talk more and you can kind of think about this, but would that be something when we roll out the, well, there's a couple of times, I'm also having a thought that you guys might be on sort of a leading edge in terms of your commitment, and it would, like, we don't want to overlook qualitative data that would be different. Maybe we could do like a phone call with a couple employees or something.
Yeah.
We haven't done interviews with anybody that small, but I don't want to overlook something that might be sort of a different and a contribution to the. Okay, well, let me think about that. But as far as the quantitative sort of survey, would that be something that you'd be interested in participating in? That would be early 2014, like probably like March, February, March 2014.
Okay.
And then. You know, we make an online survey available, and you know, like like I said, it would be real contribution to us just to have 15, 20 responses within from your organization. You know, it's entirely voluntary. But for, you know, for you, you might look at it and say, yeah, this is something that, given that it's available, we'd like to go. You know, we really like more feedback from within our company and then see where we're at.
Yeah, I think that sounds interesting. I mean, even 15 to 20 would be, you know, close to a quarter of our workforce. So.
You might get a read. It depends on kind of how you spread it out to participate. There's an interesting effect, you know, that we're noticing where the people that are thriving in their work and they're finding ways to be engaged then in expressing their values and they're finding time, they're able to put energy in that. And then you have other people who are just struggling to meet their deliverable. And so
that describes most of our company right now.
It provides a sampling challenge for us, like when I show up on site to do interviews to people that, first of all, don't volunteer to schedule the interview, and then sometimes they need to bail out of the interview, right? Like that's the...
Yeah, for sure.
Right, that's a dimension that's important to capture. We have to be kind of strategic about, you know, how you get real with that. And then, you know, same thing with the survey. You know, it kind of depends on how you make it available, what kind of read you're going to get. And again, it doesn't, on the macro scale, you know, we're showing that diversity, and we're comparing people's individual experiences, not companies. So it's not going to matter to us that your responses are overrepresented by people that, you know, had time and were engaged in the topic or something. But on the micro level, it doesn't give you the real picture of what's going on. So,
I get the point. Sort of the answers are skewed towards the people that are willing to respond. But I can force people to do it and make it happen. But I kind of think that, you know, with most of the things that we do around here, there is the group of the willing, and then there's the, you know, the group that need to be dragged kicking and screaming.
Yeah. Okay. Well, perfect. So I'd like to, I'll definitely follow up as we make our quantitative survey available.
Okay.
I'm thinking it might be worth a call just to talk to sort of a couple people within a couple other people, if you wouldn't mind, just to see kind of what their experience is, both of the company and of their own experience of it.
Yeah, for sure. How would you like to arrange that?
So, you know, maybe somebody who's very engaged and somebody who's not so engaged.
Okay.
would give a good, would give some diversity.
Yeah.
To me, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. Would you like to do this in the short term, or is this, again, near March?
Yeah, no, this would be shorter, because this is going to influence our the quantitative instrument that we're developing. So, you know, I could schedule this as early as next week. I have a little availability, or like the week after New Year's, like the 9th or 10th, I think I have a little availability. And we can, you know, we can make it work for them.
What maybe would work is I'll identify the employees and get them to send you an email so that you can arrange directly with them. Would that make sense?
Perfect. Yep. That would be wonderful. And I'll make sure yourself and the other two people in order to use the data. It basically says that everything that they say will be confidential. It won't identify them as an individual, right? So that's what it says. Because it's voluntary and it's confidential.
Okay. If you can email it to Taylor as well, I'll get the Taylor round of signatures from the other folks.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. And it's very exciting to learn about what you're up to. I really wish you the best, and I hope that we can contribute.
Well, thank you, Gabriel. It's kind of a neat project you're on, so it's interesting.
All right, well, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.